Okay. When I was
this is the second time this week this has happened to me. I was at somebody's house this week. Another one of my chaverim, you guys on them. I was at Judah Michelle's house. His wife was on the walk listening to a podcast of his or whatever. And my wife never listens to me.
We gotta start that. She has her own Torah, she said. She listens to her own Torah. When I was leaving Shunabet, Jake gave, I don't know if you remember this, but he gave over some very meaningful chizik. He said what was going to happen, you're going to go home, and you're going to go to Minyan. That was the Dover Pashut. And he said there's going to be Mincha Marav. And what generally happens in between Mincha and Marav, at least in although it's gotten a lot shorter in Jamaica States when I was just there now in the summer than I remember growing up, but there's a speech. There's a little Shikol Torah, and he said, what you're going to really, really want to do during that speech is you're going to want to leave for many reasons. You're going to want to leave because you're going to remember when you were in high school that you would always leave, so why would that chazaka not continue? And secondly, you're going to leave because you're going to think that you know so much that what the rabbi, whatever he's going to say, it's baralacha, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't have anything to teach you. But whatever you're going to whip out in the shul's base medrash is going to be a lot more valuable. So not that I'm so worthy of hearing to speak, but if Jake deems that somebody should speak here, it's kedai to be there. It's not an endorsement for you to come when I speak. It's more for like when Rav Eliyahu and other people come. But it is very important to be there and not think that whatever you're going to do is necessarily so much more important, although it could be. We're on the heels of Rosh Hashanah. It's hard to believe. I don't know if this it's like I was having a this guy was telling me he travels. He was just telling me it's crazy. He made more money in 2020 than 2019. And I'm like, of course he made more money in 2020 than 2019 because he didn't travel as much. Because in 2019 you couldn't travel, but 2020 restrictions were lifted. You're able to travel. Like, no, buddy. We're in 2021 right now. 2020 is when Corona came. I didn't travel. 2019, I traveled a full year. So I have literally no perspective of anything that's going on, and it's really crazy to me that this whole year has gone by. But be it as it may, Monday night, Rosh Hashanah is going to come. And already this past Monday night, I start to think, I was really thinking that this morning, more because I'm literally davening for the first time in my life in an actual shtibel where there's minyanim going on at the same time. Yesterday we were saying Yud Gimel Midos, one was saying it for Slichos, and we were saying it for before Tachnun. And you like really like, you know, it's a whole shish kebab. But I was really thinking this morning that this is the last Thursday Shacharis of the entire year. And today in Mincha will be the last Thursday in Mincha, and you could do that until Monday in Mincha. You don't have to go through all of them. You guys are smart enough to do that. And it's very scary. It's very scary that this is the last, I think it's the last long Tachnun we said during the entire year was today. And you could be very happy about that. A lot of people don't really like Tachnun. Or you could look at it. It's the last opportunity. But the year is really coming to the end. There's a few ideas that are sticking in my brain. For Shlomo Zalman Orbach, I'm not going to say that I'm such a bucky in the Haredi rabbinus of the world, but I think, from my understanding, is Shlomo Zalman is probably the most mainstream of that door of Haredi rabbinum. He wasn't like an overly intense individual. He wasn't really an overly machmir individual either on most things. But he used to, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's like one year, he really gave it to his family. He like gave it, like, what are you guys doing? Now, this isn't, like, you can imagine, like, the families in the world that you grew up in. In Shai Chesed, like, it's a little different. I imagine growing up in the Orbach family, it was a little different than growing up, than, like, my children could say growing up in the Merrill family. It's like, he really gave it to them. He gave them an Erev Rosh Hashanah. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's the last 10 hours of the year. It's Rosh Hashanah in 10 hours. We're going to go and Mavach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in 10 hours. This is what you're doing. You're wasting your time in the last moment. So this is our Erev Rosh Hashanah now. I don't know if any of you watch wrestling. I don't know if they still do this. But before, like, you know, they had the pay-per-view events. You know what that is? So, like, always on Thursday Night SmackDown, they would open up, I think, 72 hours till SummerSlam, till, you know, WrestleMania, you know, whatever it was. So we're literally on that heel of the 4 or 5 days, whatever it is, until Rosh Hashanah. And now is the opportunity to chop whatever you can during those final moments and to really conclude this year. It's a, you know, Jewish calendar year on a high, and then to go into next year on a high. And another story that came to my mind, I don't know if any of you are from Tinek. I'm from Tinek. Any of you know Tanakh? Rav Ari Zatz, who is assistant rabbi B'nai Yeshurun and was the rabbi B'nai Yeshurun for the past year, was my brother's best friend growing up, and he once told me, he was in Moresh HaKol for many years, you know, when you're serious, you end up in Moresh HaKol, okay, makes sense, and he said, you know, you go there, come from high school, like Shmon Esther, it's really long there. And which I still find hard to believe, I guess, in the high school, because there's no way Rav Willig had a very long Shmon Esrei that would be that. But okay, I guess in the high school I could see it being a little longer. And he said it makes more sense. And he said that 1 year in high school, while in Moresh HaKol, in the amount of time before Chazar Seshah, so let's say 3-4 minutes in Shacharis, 3-4 minutes in Mincha, a few minutes in Maariv, of course he didn't learn during Chazar Seshah because he follows Halacha, during those 10 minutes a day throughout the entire year, he was able to finish Maseches Mo'ikotim, which is 27 daf. Now, his learning level in high school is probably higher than mine is at 33, so it's not, it's still a wild statement, but it's not, it wouldn't be as crazy like if I said that. But in any event, the whole point of that is how much you're able to accomplish during those moments, especially now, these last few minutes of the year to really think what we can do during the year, which leads to the next point that we have to always be thinking about. As we're shunning fed, we're going into Leib HaChayal, we're going to college, coming from Torah Shragli, whatever exactly it is that we're doing in our lives, is what are our goals? You know, it's important path to know what our goals are. When I was in Yeshiva, Rav Kohlwasser used to sit down with every guy and he built out a learning map for you. I honestly believe he had to have been like higher than possible to be high when he came up with these learning plans, because it was beyond unrealistic. But he basically made for me that in 10 years after Yeshiva, I should have finished Shas twice, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, Tanakh, and basically no Kol HaTorah Kula many times over in 10 years. So that, I thought that was a pretty unrealistic goals, but it was an extremely important exercise of having a learning map that otherwise we go through and we literally have no clue what it is that we're shooting for. If you come in every day of your life and you're like, oh, what am I doing today? It's very, very challenging. Like, you have to. Like, I wouldn't be able to do my job if I come in on a good day I come in at 9, but that's rare. Today I came in at 9, but it's rare. But whenever I come into the office and whenever I conclude my day, if I decide I'm coming into the office, let me sit down now, let me decide what I'm going to do, I'm going to be very, very ineffective at what I'm doing. So the same exact thing holds true for our Avodas Hashem. If we just decide, you know, whatever, you know, I decide today I'm going to show up, it's a schus to be in Rejake Shir, it's whatever, you know, I'm just showing up today and I'm not like thinking about, I'm going to have to put in hard work and I have to have effort and I have to be awake, which could either mean through like coffee or actually sleeping, you know, whatever it is one has to do, it's going to be very, very hard to be successful. So drawing out some map and at some point before this year is over to really have, either Jake Rukos or whoever it might be that speaks to you, but somebody to draw out like a real Avodas Hashem map that you're able to look at. When I worked at YU, I don't know if we actually ever did it, we just talked about it, but we had what we called 30, 60, 90, 1 year. We had a map of what our goals were for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and a year, and maybe went above and beyond. I don't know if we actually ever did it, but the idea in theory is a great idea of what it is that our goals are for that time. Like, you know, Daf Yomi, when they started Sukkah, they put out this whole thing, finished 7 Masechtos in 8 months. Like, they're drawing it out. Now, is it such a Chiddush? Like, I could also open up a Gemara and, you know, do the math and basically realize Sukkah is like 2 months worth of time and every other Masechtos is about a month. And I could figure out, oh, I'm going to do the 7 Masechtos in 8 months. Like, it's not, we're not talking exactly like, that's not, Harvard geometry we're talking about. It's not the most difficult of math to do, but in any event, they have to do it because if things aren't drawn out for us, we're never going to be able to do anything. And it's very, very important. And then just getting to our next point is to, as we're in that time, is to take on something. Every year for Rosh Hashanah, I take on a goal. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. This past year, my goal is to bench out of a sitter. There's only 3 times the entire year I did not bench out of a sitter. One was my fault, two were, well, it was either don't bench or don't bench out of the sitter. So I figured that probably a Doraisa is more important than a Kabbalah, which is 100% the case. But it was very, very important to me for a number of reasons. Number one, I generally don't say all benching. If I say it by heart, that, you have a question?
Yeah, is it the dominating between benching and the sitter is Doraisa?
No. Benching would be a d'oraisa.
Right. So
I decided to bench as opposed to fulfilling my Kabbalah of... If I didn't bench at all, I wouldn't violate... If I didn't bench, I didn't violate not benching out of a sitter. But I figured...
That third time, maybe we never would have happened, have you?
But that third time, I just actually just forgot. But so really only one time a year I was in a place with benchers. And now, to be fair, I don't wash so often outside of Shabbos, so it's a little easier. But you know, whatever. We don't have to know all the secrets. But that was very, very important to me to be able to do. And every year, try to take on goals like that. Rabbi Kamenetsky was the Menahel of DRS and just a world class mechanic, and also the brother in law of one of Rabbi Jake's chaverim. He's very into, he really gets it. I've met him like once in my life, and I don't even know if I've ever spoken to him, but like every time I listen to him, I think he gets younger and younger, even though he gets older and older, because he just really gets the generations more and more as he gets further removed. Like, he's getting older. Every year he's getting older, and every year an incoming freshman is getting a year younger. Yet somehow it seems like they're staying on sync. And he's very into this idea that a lot of people, we discussed 2-4-2 last week, that some of the chever here said they wanted to take it upon themselves. So he would say that's a very bad thing to desire to do, because that's probably not really so accomplishable. But he thinks that to take on a small goal, whatever it might be, but it's super, super important, whatever that's going to be, whatever Ethan's probably going to take on Singer Tika. So the rest of the Chevra, you know, to take on something that's really accomplishable, because you're going to feel very good about yourself. During the month of Elul, because one of my friends did this, I'm not going not to watch Netflix. Which, when my wife works and I go to bed later, because I also wake up a little later on the next mornings, it's very, very challenging how to bridge my day. So this past month, I've listened to more shiurim because I just need something to do. I mean, I should always do that. So Rav Aryeh Leibowitz works at YU, and he's got a shul in North Woodmere. I was just listening to him saying that when he was in high school, he's doing a Q&A with high school kids, and high school kids asked, like, what's something we should do with our lives? And he said, you should really take on, like, any goal. Like, take Pnini Halacha, use some other example of a sefer like Pnini Halacha, but a sefer that one's able to accomplish. Jake told me to do Ali Shur. I quickly realized that probably wasn't such a great goal. Ali Shur is very difficult.
What is that?
So most of the by Revolvi. It's a great sefer. If Jake will do it with you, it's really great. He did it with Rav Waxman when he was Shana Aleph, and that was very, or Shana Bet. That was very meaningful for him. But to try to do it on your own, that's going to be very challenging. It's a very, very complicated sefer, but with incredible inyanim. But to take on a sefer that you're able to accomplish, I think Rabbi Leibowitz said that when he finished 12th grade, he had done Zerayim and Zikin. He did two Masechtas twice of Mishnayos. And he said that was like very important for him before he went Shana Aleph to be able to. He actually once said this. The whole class is trying to really catch up to receive. So maybe he was. Maybe he thought if he did that, he was in receive's class in high school. He had a better shot of getting close to receive. But he thought that was very, very. Take it as you like. But he thought that was very important. But taking on something, having whatever the goal is. But we have to. We have to have goals. If we don't have goals, you're just going to see it. What happens when one doesn't have goals is they just flop. And the last idea, and this only can work if you do. See, a lot of times you'll take on. I did say at the beginning you have to take on accomplishable goals because it is important that you're going to be able to accomplish. However, you do want to shoot for higher. You know, for example, I think this past year the yeshiva had an incredibly good fundraising year. Like a Malam in a Teva fundraising year. I personally, and it's being recorded, so I guess it would be known, I personally do not think we're going to reach that next year. I can't publicly say that. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. My personal goal is actually not to match next year, because I think it was just a Malam in a Teva, and I think, you know, it's just, it doesn't do anyone any good by having goals that aren't accomplishable. However, for me to be better, and for the yeshiva to be better, and to, you know, maybe even have, we do have all the lights on, but sometimes we don't have all the lights on, to make sure all the lights are on, we do have to shoot for higher. However, you can only...
Why lights? Why not raises?
And raises. Yeah, we have to get raises. Everyone here should go to Rabot and demand or Jake gets a raise while you're singing Kayaksof with all your kochos. But if you're not accomplishing a small accomplishment, if a small accomplishment doesn't get done, then there's no way we can ever get to greater accomplishments. But with that being said, there is room to reach for higher accomplishments. When I was in yeshiva, granted we did sukkah, so it was slightly easier than psachim because it's half the amount. But Rav Jake did introduce me to a concept which I took very dear to me in my time in YU, and I really, really, really hold and would really like to see it be done in yeshiva. You could get a tissue for you. Want a tissue? Help you see out. Let me have to use the sleeve. Is to really try to, whatever, I don't know if Pesachim really is feasible, but to try to accomplish and finish whatever the yeshiva's mesechta is every year, and to always have, you know, I'm trying with the Maryland chevra who, I'm not saying anyone should go to Maryland, but there are some guys who went to yeshiva who are in Maryland who are very, very strong. I'm trying to like put that idea into their head to try to have a yeshiva mesechta, and these guys learn, they try to tell me why it doesn't make any sense. But okay, and YU is definitely, it's definitely easier because you could have one direction of learning and they're not just happy that everyone's learning. They want to have some consistency to really strive to have that. And what will happen is if every year you're doing yeshiva mesechta, just having a goal to do a mesechta every year, you're gonna see great accomplishments. We had a guy who was here 3 years ago. Yeah, 3 years ago. My first year here, 2 years, however you look at it. And he was just telling me that he's now done, since he was there, about 250 daf of shas. But he does about an amud a day, or a little less than an amud a day. But he's gotten through that amount, because when he was here, he focused to finish mesechta, and every year he tries to do two mesechta of the year, a smaller one and a bigger one. We've actually had to see him when he made an avodah zarah during the 9 days. I think the 9 days of eating meat is about as hit or miss as in halacha as you come. I felt super uncomfortable eating at that siyum. I tried very hard not to go, and if my own brother had made a siyum during the 9 days, I wouldn't have gone. But I thought it was important to be at that siyum. But I saw from him, he really felt, getting back to the point of him finishing the sechta, you should have meat during the 9 days. He felt amazing. I was really able to see what a little bit every day is and what shooting for goals are. When he was here the January before Corona, so we're going on a little under 2 years ago, if I were to tell him that a little under two years after he was going to finish Mesechta Avodah Zarah, he would have thought I was crazier than Rav Kolwasser when he was telling me that I would be finishing Yerushalmi at 28, which I didn't. But that's the whole point. You take on goals, and like you just keep living through life with your goals, and you're really able to accomplish great things. And what also happens is the big Rav Jake shtickle is sticking to something. It's having consistency and a real. So hopefully he won't be at all my speeches. They don't connect one to the next. He doesn't like. But it's really just sticking to something in life. It's very, very important not to be a daf bet Jew, which is not really a phrase. It's actually a phrase that I made up. So if anyone ever comes up with that, I'm going to like sue them because I have the rights on that phrase. But a daf bet Jew means somebody who learns daf beis in every single mesechta. They're always learning daf beis. They don't know much about daf gimel. They never got into daf gimel, but they know daf beis. Like they started daf yomi today. They did daf beis of beitza, but then tomorrow they're going to go to daf beis of eichulin or whatever. Like they're never. So we talked about last year. They never move on to the next thing, because they're always jumping, and it's not it's very, very important to stick, because I see it. You know, you have I saw it in the shir today. I don't get the shir, but I saw it in the shir today. There's like real excitement for daf beis there, and there's a real excitement for the last daf mesechta. I can tell you in a week and a half. Or in the daf yadaw to beitza, you're not going to see that level of excitement, and certainly early in the morning there won't be. But daf beis, you know, it brings on excitement. But it's to really we understand that our goal is that no, this is our goal. We reached out. We want to start this, and we have a direction in life that we're going. We're trying to accomplish our missions. You're going to have that same level of excitement throughout the mesechta. It's not and throughout life. It's not. It doesn't become boring. It becomes. It becomes exciting. I started with the Moshe Gutfreund. I started doing Mishnah Berurah Yomi. He really inspired me. And I'm doing Hilchos Chol HaMoed now, which is really essentially just every halacha is the same. But I wouldn't call it to be, it's not edge of your seat. Whether or not I can weave on the Chol HaMoed, that's not exactly, what's keeping me going. It's not so exciting. But the fact that, and also you were doing Hilchos Chol HaMoed, that also inspired me to do Chel Gvav, not do something else. So, kudos for you. Right, you're doing Hilchos Chol HaMoed for the Yontif, right? So what keeps me going on doing Hilchos Chol HaMoed is the fact that, well, first off, eventually it will be done. That's exciting in of itself, and the fact that we're on a schedule, we're going right there. We're moving at a direction every day, sticking to something which is just. which is just very important, which is why, as I said before, like, it's listening to Shiram and not watching Netflix during Elul, which I'm a big Netflix guy. It is challenging because any deviation, as Slichos also, any deviation is hard. I like to be consistent. So if we're consistently, I won't watch Netflix, but we're not at that point yet. Much better than I was when I was in Yeshiva. But, you know,
we still
found ways. We just got viruses, but there are plenty of ways to watch back then also. But to stick in the direction, I'll just conclude because maybe I've said too much about watching Netflix and just on that idea, is that the Gashmias can never be the makor of the life. So when I took a summer class in Queens College once, or twice actually, but in this specific time, I had I learned in Landers that day. So I went to the class at 8 o'clock, and I learned the Landers for hours, and then I went home. Didn't really have much work, and I had a rule: you were never allowed to watch more episodes than Daf Gemara you learned that day. So I was watching the show Lost. So I'm sure there's shows like that today that are just these every episode ends with a cliffhanger. It's hard to stop. So sometimes these better shows that have a cliffhanger, it's much easier to stop. Wherever the show is bad, it's much easier to stop. And one day, it overtook me. I watched like 5 episodes, and I hadn't learned yet that day, like 10 o'clock at night. And even not as early as I go to bed now, but I was never like one of these people who could stay up till 2 a.m. I was always very unconnected. I couldn't connect to that. But I say, you know, if I'm not going to be, I got to be honest with myself. It's got to at least be the same. I can't say that Lost is more important than Gemara. And that night, I ended up learning 5 daf because I had to make sure that I was able to at least go neck to neck. You know, the gates are on Yetzer Tov, at least be in the same boat. So just an important thing also to we're trying to minimize our any gashmias we have. Got some, but trying to minimize it. But to definitely understand that whatever gashmias you have in life, the ruchnias has to outweigh it, and it's not great. It's not great if you look at your day and you're like, oh, this is a productive day. I woke up at 3 p.m. I sat down. And, you know, I had a cold one, and I watched like 13 hours of television. That got me to 6 a.m. and then 4 a.m. and then I went right back to the previous day. Like that wouldn't be an ideal makeshift of our days at any point. Certainly not, you know, right before Rosh Hashanah, but really at any, even being a Zman, that would be a bad makeshift of your day. So to make sure that just to conclude, want to always make sure that we're having goals, whatever it is. Really, it's the ikkar to take out of this. The next 5 days, come up with definitely something that seems very reachable to do for the upcoming year. And to try to shoot for something that's a little more lofty. That was like maybe 2-4-2 is more of like a lofty goal, you know. And that's why they did Seder Nashim or Nezikin. But you know, just having. But again, if they didn't do anything else that was small, I think it'd be very difficult to do that. Like just our general nature when we're just all or nothing extreme individuals is just not. It's a very hard to live life like that. 50 years ago, 20 years ago, and certainly in 2021, it's not easy to live like that. And I also now know it's 2021 and not 2020 or 2019. Shkoyach, have a shana tova.